This is a production of Cornell University.
Let's go ahead and just start with a roll call.
Okay. Lila Abed El-Majid.
Here.
Morgan Baker.
Here.
Genevieve Bansaw.
Here.
Kayla Butler.
She's here.
She's here.
Carlo Castillo.
Present.
Uchenna Chakukura.
Here.
Lucy Contreras.
Here.
Annette Gleiberman.
Here.
Sonu Kapoor.
Here.
Amari Lampert.
Here.
Andrea Miramontes Sereno.
Here.
Estefania Perez. Tomas Renning.
Here.
Kate Santa Cruz.
Here.
Mardia Chardot.
Here.
Lucas Smith.
Here.
Claire Templeman.
Here.
Valeria Valencia.
Here.
Noah Watson.
Here.
Salam Woldai.
Here.
Valentina Shu.
Here.
Johan Yuan.
Excused.
Raquel Zohar.
Also excused.
Lucas Dumpano.
Also excused.
Samuel Z.
Here.
And Kat Wong.
Here. Can we get a count of members present, please?
I have 22 members present.
Awesome. Thank you. The time is 4:49. We have 22 members present. I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting officially to order. Let's start off with the land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayogono of the Cayuga Nation. The Gayogono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gayogono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Gayogono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. I'm going to turn it over to EPP Watson for announcements and presentations.
Thank you, Kat. We actually have no announcements or presentations this week, so I'm going to move into open microphone. So if any members of the community wish to speak about anything that's not on our agenda, please raise your hand. And it looks like no one has anything, so I'm going to close open microphone and hand it back over to Kat.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Let's do minutes right now. I'll give a couple seconds to look over them, but after that, I'll look favorably upon a motion to approve by unanimous consent.
Motion to approve by unanimous consent.
Second. All right, is there any objection? Seeing as there's no objection, the minutes have been approved. I understand that Representative Lampert has to leave early today, so I look favorably upon a motion to move the SAIFC proposal up. Is that correct?
I have a question about the minutes. It says I was absent, but I was excused.
Okay. Do you want to, like, motion to amend the minutes to change that?
Motion to amend the minutes to reflect a net clip.
Okay.
Excused or unexcused.
In the minutes. Sorry, what was that?
They never put excused or unexcused in the minutes. I just have a record of who's excused. You were excused last week.
Okay, thank you for letting me know that. I was unaware. Okay, I awesome. Withdraw my motion.
Okay, thank you. No worries, and I'm sure it's fine. Okay. So, Amari, I know you had to leave early. Do you want to move your resolution up on the agenda?
Yes, please. I motion to move my resolution up on the agenda.
Great, thank you.
Second.
Is there any objection? Great, so let's move into that first. Amari, feel free to present your resolution with your co-sponsors.
Yeah, SAIC can help chime in if they would like to. But we've been working on the rain garden project since I think 2020 fall, and it's gonna be outside Corson Hall. And Dr. Nina Basic and her class came to us asking for funding to build a rain garden that they've created themselves. So into the presentation in December, and all the students like made a presentation of which one they thought would be the best to put there, and they voted on it. And so now they're finally ready to move into actually creating the garden. So this is just a proposal for the funding for their garden.
Great, thank you. Would any co-sponsors like to add anything?
Yeah, I guess I would just add that the site that this rain garden is gonna be at is, you know, really it's just grass right now. So it's gonna be really exciting to see this transformation. I think, again, it's really cool that it's in conjunction with a class being taught, which is a little bit different from what we usually see through SAIFC.
For sure. Thanks, y'all. Where is Corson Hall? I've actually have no idea where that is.
It's near plant science, if you're familiar with the plant science, but ag quad, like
okay,
somewhere different part of campus for a lot of students. So.
Yeah. Okay, amazing. That sounds good. Thank you for talking about your resolution. Does anybody have any questions or comments or feedback for the co-sponsors?
Oh, I actually had one question for you, Kat. So they haven't given us the internal transfer number. They're still holding up on that. So is that okay to pass it right now and then have us add it in later?
Yeah, that might be, yes.
Thank you.
Perfect. Alrighty. Any questions? I see a hand from Valentino. You may state your question.
Hi, Amari and Lucas. Thanks for working on this. I had a question about like how big is the class and just like how many students will this actually impact? Because I do see it's like, you know, $12,000.
The price I actually sent it to Noah was changed to $9,000. I believe the class was about 20 kids, but they've been working on this for a very long time, I believe. So I think it's good to put up the money because they've been working on this project for about 2 years and they've done a lot of research and showed that rain gardens have actually been pretty impactful on college campuses.
Yeah, and also okay. The updated numbers in the box. So if you just like look at the link, it's been updated.
Yeah. They just emailed me before that they changed. They found some old things that they're able to use from their storage unit and use that for this.
And in terms of impact, the site will be listed. Cornell kind of has like a map of spots on campus that are kind of environmentally designed, things like that. There's some other spots on campus, so it will be listed on that. So when visitors come to campus, they'll have a means of being directed to this kind of unusual spot per se.
Okay, thank you.
Awesome, fantastic. Thank you for that question and those responses. Do you have any other questions or comments or feedback? And if not, I would look favorably upon a motion to vote on this resolution.
Motion to vote.
Thank you. Is there a second? Okay, sorry.
Second.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't hear. Perfect. Could you all put your hand up right now? Just raise your hand if you're already in favor of this resolution. I'm going to close voting in a couple seconds. Still waiting on a few votes to roll in. Okay, so that's 19 votes in favor of, okay, they're moving, 20 votes in favor. And if you're not voting right now, I'm going to assume it's an abstention. Okay, 22-022, that resolution passes. Thanks Amari and Lucas and Ellie for bringing this to the floor of the Student Assembly and for working on it with your committee. Wonderful. Alrighty, let me clear these hands. Okay, great. Moving forward with the agenda, we're up to Resolution 41, disengaging Cornell from the war in Yemen, which I believe is being presented by Joseph Mullen and some other folks. So Joseph, if you want to go ahead and start presenting your resolution, feel free.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sorry, Joseph, I don't mean to interrupt you, but Wendy has her hand up and she's waving it around. Sorry,
I did not see that. Yes.
I just want to be clear, the proposal that you just did for SAIFC, is it a proposal or a resolution?
I think it's a proposal.
Okay. Because you kept using the word resolution. I just want to make sure so I know, like, if it, because that doesn't go up on the website as a resolution. It's a proposal that you guys just approved so that we can transfer the funds. Is that right?
Proposal. Yeah, exactly.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
Sorry, I got my second vaccine today and I'm starting to feel a little groggy. So bear with me.
Well, congrats, and hopefully we'll keep this short and go rest. Yes, there's a proposal. I just automatically use resolution.
All right, thanks. I just want to make sure that was clear for me and Kira. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank
you. Sorry, go ahead.
Joseph, floor is yours, and Layla and Maria, if you are presenting.
Yeah, so I can give a super brief summary. Last week, I presented on the resolution and also a bit of background on the war in Yemen and Cornell's involvement with it. I did a lot of talking last week, so Mardia and Layla, if you want to take over and talk a little bit, but I would just note that we got great sign-on from a bunch of professors and faculty who signed on to the 2018 letter to President Pollock and also the Arab Student Association. And with that, if anyone wants to, say anything else.
So I think this is a very good initiative that Joseph did a lot of work and research on this and outreach, as well as Mardia. And I think it just ties into like our growing theme of just asking the university to be transparent with a lot of its engagements and just to uphold its ethical standards and every partnership it has. And this is a great initiative that I hope it continues on throughout the years.
Thank you. Anything else from the co-sponsors? Sure. All righty. I'll go ahead and open the floor for any questions, comments, or feedback for the co-sponsors. All righty. Lucas, do you have a question?
Yeah, I know I asked this last week, and it's less related for the sponsors, I guess, but if we've heard on Resolution 39, I guess that's still super important for me, I think, in terms of getting this right. I think understanding, you know, where Resolution 39 is at should play a part in this. So have we heard?
No, we have not heard. It's been conveyed to the president. She also hasn't responded to a couple of resolutions over the past couple of weeks, and she does have a month to respond.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yep. All right. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Andrea.
I just want to express the concern because I really I support the resolution, but there have been like comments within the engineering community. Like the companies that are listed there are big employers of a lot of the engineering body in Cornell. So I was just wondering how you guys would go on about that. I support the resolution, but I'm wondering if that's going to be an impediment.
Yeah, I can answer that question. I completely get that. They are corporate partners with the university. They donate to the university, but we are singling out, you know, those four companies because of their relationship with Saudi Arabia, selling arms to Saudi Arabia, and also, you know, like I pointed out last week, directly related to the Dayan airstrike, for example, providing weapons that are, you know, committing war crimes. So I get that there's a concern on that note, but I think that the you know, need to address the their complicity in war crimes is perhaps more important.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking that maybe a way to sort of divert attention from the fact that we're cutting ties, or like we were potentially cutting ties with these companies, could be to call on or like give more attention to other companies and other opportunities. That was some feedback that I thought could be useful.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, Cornell students, engineering students, if they wish, they can still apply to those companies. Those companies would just not be allowed to recruit on campus and partner with Cornell.
Oh, thank you. I didn't know that. Thanks.
Great. Thank you for that question and those thoughtful responses. We have a hand from Annie. You may state your question.
Hi.
I was just wondering if there's been any talk with the engineering school about where potentially other funding could come for the diversity programs in engineering, which are funded by these companies. So I was just curious if there's been any talk with the engineering school about what would happen to these companies, what would happen to like these programs, like how would they be funded?
So I haven't directly addressed that question with the College of Engineering, but my hope would be that, you know, the funds that are already provided by other companies, which are more ethical, could be prioritized, and the College of Engineering could perhaps accept that, you know, if funds are coming from companies that are, you know, providing weapons to commit war crimes, perhaps that money is not, you know, especially needed at the moment.
Yeah, also, just to add on to what Joseph said, I think it's like as this resolution just starts conversations with admin, and it's not really like the organizer's really responsibility to find out what would happen if like this is taken into effect. It's up to administration to really reevaluate their partnerships and make sure they're ethical, and the burden isn't put on the organizers. This just opens up conversations throughout all the assemblies.
Thank you for those responses. Do we have any other questions? Okay, see another hand from Lucas.
Yeah, this is just because I'm curious and making sure that I understand the full scope of the resolution. So looking at the third bullet point of the resolved, be it therefore resolved clause, it talks about donations from the from Saudi Arabia and publicly disclosing them, and then it sounds like redirecting them to humanitarian organizations. So just curious on precedent for that, because I don't know, I guess some donations from other places can be disclosed, I assume. So if you have any insight on, you know, if that creates a problem of Cornell saying, yep, you know, just for this one group, we're going to say that this is how much they gave or whatnot. And then if we're allowed to, or if the university is allowed to just redirect money as they choose.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the precedent perhaps for that, but I would say that this was a demand that the professors in 2018 had called upon the university to take. It would just go along with the theme generally of having transparency and knowing what, you know, Saudi Arabia is giving to the university. And I think that that part would be a hope that the university would divert these funds to help out the Yemeni people instead of using this money from Saudi Arabia. But, you know, again, as Layla said, it would be more starting a conversation about how we can appropriate that money to the people who have been robbed of it, essentially.
Lucas, do you have a follow-up question?
Yeah, so I guess with that, I'm would it be more fitting to just not accept those funds? I know you said that that clause is kind of coming from previous precedent per se in these conversations, but it seems like if, you know, I don't know, I'm curious of that, if it would make more sense to just deny those funds. Of course, that has implications, but curious on that.
No, I definitely think that part of this also in disclosing previous donations would also be, you know, advocating to not continue taking funds. I think probably the university would hopefully accept that in line with these other things, considering that, you know, previous funds had come perhaps before the war in Yemen, so they may be able to justify it, but there's absolutely no justification now for it. So I think that definitely is a fair demand. And I think it's implied in the resolution that, you know, no further funds should be coming.
Perfect. Thank you for that question and that response. We have another hand from Morgan. Please state your question.
Yes, hello. So I'm just curious, on lines 71 to 72, do we have a list of the arms manufacturers in particular? Just curious to know which ones we're discussing.
Yeah, so the four companies that I listed at the last meeting that have direct ties with the College of Engineering would be BAE, the British Arms Company, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, and the last one would be, I said Lockheed Martin already. Yeah, I think the fourth one is Raytheon, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, but it should be in the body of the.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ready? Do we have any other hands? I see no hands up. I'm going to assume that there's, okay, we have someone doubling back for the third time. Lucas, please state your question.
Yeah, so sorry. I guess I'm just more curious now. You know, I certainly not against the resolution, just more curious. Yeah, I guess some of the sentiments, right? I mean, we just discussed how the intention would be that the university wouldn't accept funds, hopefully, in the future, and that's implied. Yeah, and then I guess looking at the next one, it talking about like guest speakers and things like that, it says, well, the war lasts. So that implies that, I guess, if Saudi Arabia, you know, the whole conflict was to kind of resolve, that we'd start to be okay, I guess, again. And I'm curious on that, I guess, is that seems like, you know, letting up the rope per se, or giving too much back potentially, even if things were to go in the right direction, I'd be skeptical to, I guess, the implications of that, you know, just going right back to normal per se in terms of relations. But
yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think as the professors noted in the 2018 letter, you know, the war in Yemen is not the only human rights abuse or ethical concern with Saudi Arabia. There are plenty of others. So probably in, you know, following the guidelines established by Resolution 39, it would be, you know, ensuring that these could be held up as long as Saudi Arabia continues with other human rights abuses and unethical practices, because as noted in, I think, the last part of the resolution, it would follow generally the practices of ethical engagement with a country. And I don't imagine Saudi Arabia will stop unethical practices tomorrow.
Sure. Thank you for that question, Lucas, and for that response. I'll allow another follow-up question, Lucas.
I guess this is more of a friendly amendment. So number five says, as laid out by the previous resolution on PKU, might make sense to just clarify that that's resolution 39, since I think that is such an important resolution. I assume, right, is, I know PKU is actually a separate resolution, but resolution 39 then would be different from that, from.
Okay, I think you are correct, as in that would be resolution 39. Co-sponsors, correct me if that's wrong. So right now you're proposing an amendment to change the language in line 79 to 80, just like state as laid out by resolution 39.
Yes, yep, correct.
Thank you. Do you want to make that motion?
Yeah, I'd like to motion to change the wording on line, I guess, 80 it is, to say as laid out by the previous resolution, is laid out in the previous resolution 39.
All right. Yes. Sure. Is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any discussion on this amendment? And Valentina, is your hand up for this?
No.
Oh, okay, sure. Is there an objection to this amendment? Okay, since there's no objection, I'm gonna go ahead and pass that by unanimous consent. Okay, great, thank you. That amendment has been approved. Valentina, I see your hand is up. Please state your question.
Yeah, thank you for the organizers of this resolution. I think when we talked about the last resolution 39, there were also, like, you know, parallel discussions going on with Faculty Senate. I was just wondering, is this something that they're also planning on discussing, and will we have a perspective from them soon as well?
So to my knowledge, they're not currently discussing it, because in 2018, there was a lot more momentum around it. And I think now, after reaching out to a lot of them, and if you look on the co-sponsors page, a lot of them are signed on who are also in the Faculty Senate. So I imagine, you know, now that they've been aware of kind of a new impetus on it, and maybe there will be some more momentum on it in the Faculty Senate.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Is that your follow-up question?
Yeah, no, thanks, Joseph. So I was wondering, in 2018, how did the administration respond to that? And that might be a good reference.
Yeah, so I talked also last meeting about this. And after meeting with some of the professors who wrote the letter and sent it, the administration reaction was essentially, you know, nothing, basically. I think that's kind of standard. But they sort of said that it didn't meet their qualifications for divestment or disengagement. And then they also, I believe, as Lucas was pointing out, you know, further said that, and I don't know if they sent a letter back or had correspondence, I haven't seen it, but just from word of mouth from the professors, they generally said, you know, we won't disclose, this is private information, so.
Thank you for that question, for that response, Joseph. Okay, Morgan, I see your hand is up. Please state your question.
Thank you. So, yeah, I've had discussions with engineering students gathering their perspectives on how beneficial job fairs in general can be and how useful they are to their job searching. And I'm just wondering, how can we diminish like the negative impact this resolution could possibly have on disallowing those certain companies from coming and coming to campus and searching for students, and especially like, I feel like this would impact first generation students whose parents are not engineers and don't know much about these companies and these job opportunities in general.
Sorry, let me just jump in, because I feel like we're getting the same questions, and I feel bad for Joseph for having to take all of them, but I think we should look at the positive impact that this resolution will have, not on the negative impact that four companies are not coming to a job fair. The positive impact is that we're not going to be complicit in a war that's killing millions of people and like starving children. The negative impact is that there's going to be four less companies at a job fair for engineering students.
Thank you for pointing out the distinction and that response, Layla. Wonderful. Okay, I see we still have two hands up. Tomas, the floor is yours. Please state your question or response.
Yeah, I just want to like encourage representatives who are not part of, you know, diverse, you know, marginalized communities or first gen communities or low income communities to not try to speak for us, because I can promise you that if anything, those of us who are from immigrant families, who a lot of us are immigrants because of wars in our country started by these companies, we would actually much rather students from these universities do not go work for them and contribute to the war crimes being committed. And I also think we should be encouraging our seniors and alum to not be taking jobs anyways at companies that are committing war crimes. Like, there are literal children starving, as Layla mentioned. So yeah, please don't pretend to care about like first gen students or speak for us. We don't need y'all to do that. We can advocate for ourselves.
Alrighty. Thank you for that response to the previous question. We do have two more hands. Lucy, please state your question or comment.
Yeah, I just, as a first gen rep, I wanted to echo everything that Tomas just said. I'm fairly certain my community would care a lot more about a genocide happening than about four companies coming to a job fair. So I really just wanted to express that.
Thank you for sharing that perspective. It's appreciated. Estefania, the floor is yours. Please state your question or comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize that I don't see the saliency of bringing up first generation students when we're talking about a bigger issue than this. So thanks.
Thank you for your feedback. Do we have any more questions about the resolution? And I do
motion want to vote.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Alrighty, is there any objection? I'm gonna call for an official vote. So please raise your hand if you're voting yes in this resolution. And then I will clear the votes and then ask for no votes and then abstentions if necessary. And I'm gonna close voting in a couple seconds. And also in the future, I would like to remind representatives to read through our resolutions carefully, as I feel like some questions could have been answered from the previous presentation from last week or in the language of the resolution. And I know people work hard on these resolutions and I wanna recognize that. Alrighty. Okay, so I'm gonna close voting for yes in a couple seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, that's 16 for the resolution, or 17 for the resolution. I'm gonna clear the votes now. And then please raise your hand if you're voting against this resolution. Okay, any others? Okay, that's one vote against. I'm going to clear that. And then please raise your hand if you're abstaining.
Don't you need conflict of interest to abstain? You can't just abstain because it makes you uncomfortable to vote, y'all.
That is technically true, yeah. So are you going to stick with an abstention?
Can I motion to do a roll call vote?
I think we're already in the middle of a motion, so no, sorry. No. Yeah, but okay. Alrighty. I think someone put their hand down, so that's two votes for abstentions. I don't know if someone wanted to change their, 16-1-2-3. This resolution does pass. Okay, I believe that is all for today. But I do want to thank Joseph and the co-sponsor of the resolutions and the other co-sponsor, 17 in favor. Oh, thank you so much, Wendy, sorry. 17-1-2-3. We're gonna have to, I think it's three. But thank you, Joseph. Thank you, everyone, for being at our meeting today. If there's nothing left on our agenda, I would look favorably upon a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Thanks, Tomas. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Is there any objection?
Wait, Kat, I have a resolution.
Oh my God, I am so sorry. okay.
I respect your motion.
My bad, y'all.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Wow, I totally missed that. Okay, yes. Annalee, please feel free to present your resolution.
Hi, everyone. So this is a pretty straightforward resolution. It's adding mental health checks to the daily check. I know mental health has been something that we've been talking about a lot recently, and just trying to see like how to help our campus, provide resources to our campus. So obviously this is a temporary fix. I know that this does not solve mental health challenges that we face on campus, but in light of EARS no longer providing peer support, as well as the recent report from March 2020 from the Mental Health Review, which called for an increased opportunity for students to have help-seeking behavior and identifying people in need and care on our campus. We really think it's important to have a mental health-related check on the daily check. So basically what it will be is it's a question that's mental health-related. A lot of the things we have right now are based on physical health, but if students indicate that they're having issues with mental health, that will direct them to CAPS and counseling on campus, as well as other mental health resources. Obviously, I think like a concern that I had talking to people was that like, oh, does this automatically sign you up for a CAPS session? No, but it gives you that opportunity. A lot of people don't even know that these sessions exist, don't know a lot of the mental health resources on campus. So if you're indicating and you're making the university aware that you're having issues, like it could be as little as connecting you to an RA or like other people like within your reach, but we think it's really important that people are able to self-report if they're struggling on campus and that the university is notified of that and able to provide them resources.
Fantastic. Thanks so much, Annalee, for presenting. Does anybody have any questions or comments or feedback for Annalee? Okay. Seeing as there are no questions or comments, I'm going to assume that there is a motion to vote waiting out there.
Motion to vote.
Second.
Awesome. Perfect. Any objection? Okay, please raise your hand if you're voting in favor of this resolution. All righty. I'm going to close voting in 5 seconds. So get your votes in. Okay, perfect. I believe that's 20-0-1. Yep, 20-0-1. That resolution passes. Annalee, thank you so much for bringing this, as well as the other co-sponsors. Alrighty. Do we have any more items for the agenda? Oh, wait, let me clear hands. I see a hand from Sonu. Yes. Okay, never mind. Okay, any more items for the agenda?
Kat, I'm going to motion to introduce a resolution that I worked on this week with a few of you guys. Mm-hmm. So if someone can second my motion, I'd appreciate that.
Is there a second?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to send a link in the chat to the resolution. It's already in the box. Just one second.
Feel free to screen share if you also want to.
Okay. Sounds good. So this is just like a resolution calling on administration to implement a new university-wide policy allowing for slip days in every single academic class. So if some of you don't know what slip days are, the information science department at Cornell, they have implemented slip days in many of their classes, and what they allow for are students to take their, like choose when to use like extensions. So they're pretty much like extensions, but you don't have to ask the professor for them. They're really helpful. I think they would go like a long way in improving mental health on campus. And yeah, this resolution just calls on the university to just implement this policy across the university and in every class and grant every student 10 slip days per course.
Perfect. Thank you for introducing your resolution, Noah, and for working on this. Do we have any questions or comments? Okay, we have a hand from Kayla. Please state your question.
Hi, is my mic working? It's being weird. All right, cool. I'm a freshman, so I have no idea what that means. So is it just like, does that apply for like exams, homeworks, all assignments that you turn in, you just automatically get an extension? Is like a 24-hour week? Like, I just don't understand what it is. Friendly, I support it. I just don't know what it is.
Of course, yeah. So like a slip day is just an extension. It's a 1-day extension on an assignment you have. It generally applies to any assignment except for like prelims or finals. So it's just like an extension where you don't have to ask the professor for it.
Awesome.
Any other questions? Yeah. Lucas?
Yeah, I mean, at first glance, it looks like a good resolution, so I'm not against it. Does look like it was reviewed by committee today. So wondering if you would consider, I guess, tabling this till next week. Just, I don't know. I know I had to read through it very quickly and it doesn't seem bad, but would love to just learn a little bit more about what's going on, I guess. If you'd be okay with that, just seeing your thoughts.
Like, I just want to speak about the genesis of this resolution. Like, you know, a lot of events have happened in this past week and we want to get this, at least personally, I want to get this resolution out to the president ASAP, just because I do think it is like has implications that are going to be very beneficial for almost all students on this campus. So I would look favorably upon approving this today and sending it out to the president ASAP. Thank you. Kate?
Yeah, I had a question because you mentioned, and I saw also in the resolution that the info sci department already does it. Do they do 10 slip days? Like, is that kind of like how they've been doing it in that department?
Yeah, so 10 is kind of like an arbitrary number that I came up with. One of my classes this semester, actually two of my classes this semester have 10 slip days for the entire semester. I've been in other classes where they offer up to 3 slip days per assignment. So you can have like a 3-day extension on pretty much every assignment. So I thought that 10 was a fair number, open to suggestions, but I think that's kind of in the standard, at least in the classes where I've gotten slip days.
Can I ask a follow-up really quick? Would sure. It be like 10 for per class or like 10 for a total of all your classes?
10 per class.
Okay, perfect, thank you.
Genevieve?
Yeah, two things. One, I just want to say thank you and echo the fact that if we can vote on it, because I know at least in the hotel school, most of the BIPOC students need something this semester. So I also wanted to ask about sort of like the timeline if we were to get quote unquote like approved today or approved to move forward. And then the second part of it was that for 7-week courses, for example, is it still 10 days, or have you thought through shorter courses through the semester, like 7-week courses?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Going forward, if this is approved today, Kat will convey this to the president. It's a recommendation for administration. So they're the ones who ultimately decide what to do with it. We have avenues through the faculty senate where we can perhaps find some faculty that support it, and maybe they can introduce it as well at the faculty senate. I know that I have many many professors who I believe at least will support this because this is like their current policy. So I think we have those two channels we can go through. Awesome. And also in regards to the 7-week classes, I think that that's gonna be up to like what the official policy says, policy says, but I think it would probably be half the number. So probably 5.
All right, tick, thank you.
Tomas?
Yeah, this isn't a question, this is just a comment. So honestly, like, I don't know why anyone would be against this. Like, this helps everyone. If you guys have ever had a rough semester or a rough week, like, you know that sometimes just having an extra day on an assignment would be really helpful. And again, like, think about how much like stress it would relieve for everyone if you could just get that without having to ask for it. And for those of you who are pretending to care about first gen students earlier, you should know that first gen students are less likely to form relationships with professors and ask for extensions, because as first gen students, we often feel uncomfortable asking for help. So because of that, first gen students are also oftentimes in a position where they can't ask for leeway, and this would put them in a position where it's automatically granted to them without having to essentially ask for special accommodations. So yeah,
thank you. I appreciate that, Tomas. Kate, do you still have a question?
No, sorry.
Okay, cool. Lucas?
Yeah, I guess not against it, and just was curious on recognize the need to pass something quickly. So yeah, with you on that, was just curious. I don't know what our academic policy committee of the student assembly does in terms of direct like interaction in terms of academic policy, but is this something that including resolved like some committee should work directly with them? So pass this resolution, but also add something in that the academic policy committee should collaborate right with whoever the person is.
I appreciate that. And I think that that's a great input to add, but I think that we were just emphasizing like urgency with this. And that's why we pushed it kind of through without going through the committees. I think that we can probably just do some back channeling and just work with them informally to you know, apply pressure to admin to get this approved. But if you are so inclined to add a whereas clause or be it therefore resolved clause.
I was just, I think it's important, I think, and helpful to have, you know, ensure that follow through. And I think we have infrastructure in the student assembly. So yeah, the back channels is fine, but I think it's just an important point to make sure that it's out there that we're taking advantage of the infrastructure we have as an assembly.
Yep, that sounds great. Thank you, Lucas. Are there any other questions?
Motion to vote.
Second.
We have one more person. Uche, if you would take me track your motion.
Track my motion.
Thank you.
Sorry.
I'm Sonu.
Hi, thank you. So I'm actually in the Academic Policy Committee, and this is honestly like a pretty good resolution. I totally support it. And I just wanted to understand, like, is there a contact with the administration you had in terms of speeding this up? Because we've been working with admin, and it takes some time. So when are we thinking this could be implemented?
Well, I think that we can synergize with your committee, right, and apply as much pressure as possible. I don't think that any of us have this timeline, but the only thing that I know is that President Pollack has to respond within 30 days of submission. So we'll get our answer, at least formally, like in writing, soon.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, and I'm happy to work with you too.
Cool, thank you.
And also just when I send resolutions up, I can CC the provost, or he might receive this email automatically actually, and he's the one in charge of like academic decisions. So it will go to him automatically. Thanks for the question, Sonu. Any other questions?
Motion to vote.
Second.
Okay, there's been a second. Is there any objections? Alrighty, so there's no objection, we'll move into voting. Folks, yes, you know what to do, please raise your hand. Be voting in favor of this resolution. I'm gonna close voting in 10 seconds. Closing voting in 5, 4, 3, Samuel, 2, 1, okay, 19 to 0 to 1, I believe, that resolution passes. Noah, thank you so much for your hard work in putting this together in a limited time frame. Alrighty. Seeing as we have no more items left on the agenda, to my knowledge, is there a motion to adjourn or is there anything else?
Motion to adjourn.
Thanks, Kayla. Okay.
Second.
A second. Is there an objection? Okay. Bye.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.